The more you read, the more you find, the more you find, the more you're challenged. The more you're challenged, the more you realize you need the Lord. It's amazing the way in which we can grasp things in one time of our lives when another time it just seems to escape us. As I was looking some time ago at this passage, it came to me because I was doing some reading in Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 28, where the word of the Lord reads, "Let him who steals steal no longer, but let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, in order that he may have something to share with him who has need." And it dawned on me that God gives us an ability to make money. God gives us the ability to enjoy our work. God even gives us a job, thereby providing our needs. Yet the provision of our needs, as God being the great provender, is in God's sight not sufficient because, as He says here in the apostolic word, that from our work, after having provided our needs, or in the midst of providing our needs, we're also to share those with others who have great need. And from there, it was just one hop, skip, and a jump over to Proverbs chapter 21, if you would like to look, verses 5 through 7. Because it deals with three ways not to get wealth, whereas, just store this away in your head, in chapter 1, verses 10 through 19, it talks about the futility of the get-rich schemes. So let's look at verses 5 through 7 from Proverbs chapter 21. "The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. A fortune made by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a deadly snare. The violence of the wicked will drag them away, for they refuse to do what is right." God demands justice. And when God demands justice, He demands honesty, which means He wishes us to have our balance of our scales to be appropriately aligned. Remember how the prophets, especially Amos, would chide the Israelites for having their scales that weren't balanced? This goes on a lot in foreign countries. Did you know, I'll add this as an aside because I was somewhat shocked, that in Ecuador, when you go fill your car up with gas, the pump tells you that you've gotten, let's say, 10 gallons. But you know, a lot of times you only get 8, you don't know for it, but you pay for 10. Or they will put other things in your gas, sometimes water, and it ends up destroying the cars that have fuel injection. This is the way in which nations that are not built upon a standard of honesty and doing what's right, of having integrity, literally destroys the nation from the inside out. It's the decadence of a people that brings down God's wrath. We must, to the best of our ability as Christians, possess the type of integrity that calls us up, literally wells inside of us, to be honest. And you know the place to start is to be honest with yourself. Because once you stop being honest with yourself, it's really easy to cheat others. And you find, as we read through the book of Proverbs, that there are certain characteristics that define what we could call here all economic strata. As I put on your study sheet, the rich man, the poor man, the beggar and thief. Why are certain people rich? Why do some people suffer in poverty? Why are some people destined to beg? And why do some people resort to theft and robbery? The grandiose scheme would say, well, God gives gifts to men. Some people, like Abraham, everything that he touched, it prospered. Why is that? Habakkuk would ask the question, oh God, why do the sinful men prosper. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon would ask the question, why is it that a faithful man suffers and a rich, ungodly man finds himself with all of these goods? Indeed, it is a mystery. And only God knows. But we can't help it in the midst of our experience to languish. Sometimes in fear. Other times because we're upset. Sometimes we're even upset with God that He would allow, so to speak, those things to happen. And yet, as soon as we make a comment like that, we're reminded of the time when we sat next to somebody in an airplane and somebody found out that we were a Christian and they ask us, oh, you're one of those. Well, tell me this. How come God lets little babies die of cancer? Have you ever gone into a cancer hospital for children in an underdeveloped world and you saw room after room after room full of sick, dying, malnourished, dirty children? It doesn't take more than 15 seconds once you walk out of that establishment to start questioning not only the existence of God, what God means to you, but what is God's relationship to a sinful, fallen world. And you cannot read, at least I can't, a book like this dealing with issues like these without it getting inside of me and forcing me to come to grips with the kind of God that we serve, who is a God who is just. Because if God is just and if He is a God of love, then God must also have the side of wrath. Because if He doesn't, then He cannot be a just God. And if God grants free will to people, and He does, and men have chosen the way of sin, then amidst all of it, I have not found a way. And believe me, I've tried. And I'm not proud of it. To blame God. But the Bible says that it's not God's fault. God cannot be tempted, James says, nor does He tempt anyone. Each man by his own lusts is drawn away into his practice. Why is it? It's one of the questions that we'll ask God someday. Because the man who is wealthy, who has an ability, is inherently no better than the man who is poor. That's just the way it is. But when it comes to issues like theft and swindling and the like, these are more ideological in nature. That is, it deals with human character, the decision that we make. As we'll talk about in just a moment, the rich man, like the poor man, also has decisions to make with respect to stewardship. Yes, the rich man much more than the poor man, but the poor man has his own things that he can give as well, and not just material things. But let's begin to whittle this away just little by looking at thieves. Why are, according to the Proverbs, lazy people considered to be thieves? Why? Because lazy people live off the living of other people. Have you ever noticed that people who have been poor for a long time have an expectation for others to give, even though they're not working? And in our nation, because of our welfare system, we, and I'm sad to say, we encourage dysfunction. Because with our welfare system, if a woman gets pregnant and her husband leaves her, the government will give her more money. And so you have the continual breakdown of the family. Yes, church, lazy people are thieves.
Can't say I really ever thought about it like that before. Let's see what the proverb says. In chapter 26 and verse 14, the Bible says that they love to sleep. As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. Have you ever noticed that when somebody is unwilling to work, that they're more of a nuisance than help? You can't get them to do anything. Chapter 10, verse 26. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is a sluggard to those who send him. And while they won't do it, they're still know-it-alls. They're a jack of all trades, but a master of none. Chapter 26 and verse 16. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who answer discreetly. And they always make excuses. You offer them a job, and somehow they never make it there. Chapter 20 and verse 4. A sluggard does not plow in season, so at harvest time, he looks but finds nothing. Yeah, according to the Proverbs, no good comes to the lazy man. They live in poverty and in hunger. Chapter 19, verse 15. Laziness brings on deep sleep, and the shiftless man goes hungry. But what they fail to realize is that the lazy man, while he's living in his poverty and hunger, loses his freedom, and although he doesn't realize it, is enslaved to others. Chapter 12, 24. Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labor. How many times have you told your children? How many times do you tell your grandchildren, get an education while you can? Because with an education, you have the ability to choose to do something that you enjoy. But if you don't, there will come a time when you won't have a choice. Your choice will have been taken away, and you'll do anything you can to put bread and put food on your table. And that's the truth. And somehow, it just never seems to get in there. The Proverbs say that the lazy man wastes God-given resources. Chapter 18 and verse 9. One who is slack in his work is brother to one who destroys. In other words, he condones the whole idea of laziness. They waste God-given opportunities as well. Chapter 10 and verse 5. He who gathers crops in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. What about the poor and the needy? According to the Proverbs, some people are poor simply because they won't work. That's different than somebody who's willing to work. Is your attitude different towards somebody who's willing to do anything versus somebody who expects you to give them something? Here's what the Proverbs say. Chapter 10 and verse 4, and then we'll go to chapter 20 in verse 13. Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. 20:13. Do not love sleep, or you will grow poor. Stay awake, and you will have food to spare. Maybe it's because when they were young, their parents didn't teach them the importance of hard work. One of the greatest things that parents can teach their children, and this is not coming easy. In America, living in the suburbs, it is to me the most difficult thing in the world. Maybe you were like me and you grew up on a farm and you didn't have any choice and you didn't know any different. You baled hay. You cleaned
the corral, and you filled up three or four wheelbarrows in the morning and three or four in the afternoon, and you milked cows, and you got up with your dad at 6 o'clock, and you did your work before you went to school. And then when you came home, you had to start all over again. When it came time to go to school, I was ready. School was easy compared to doing things around the house. And yet today in modern day America, it's extremely hard to teach kids what it means to work hard, what it is a work ethic. Why? Because a dad gets up and he goes off to work, to his office. Mama's busy. If mama's not working, mama's busy at home. If mama's working, then mama's real busy when she gets home. And everybody's tired. What about the kids? So what the kids do? The kids watch the boob tube and they play video games. That's what they do. We picked up manure. We cleaned out the back end of cattle trucks. We saddled horses. Our kids watch TV and play video games. Nowadays, a person who graduates from college expects his first employer to pay him $45,000. If he doesn't, he's offended. Give me a break. What are modern-day Americans born with a silver spoon in their mouth, as Mal Richards once accused President Bush or George W.? Maybe so. Maybe so. That's why the reading of the Proverbs allows you to get a grip on finding some way of creating an environment in the home wherein children can learn a work ethic. But it is extremely hard. Chapter 13 and verse 18. He who ignores discipline comes to poverty and shame, but whoever heeds correction is honored. In other words, you tell your child, whether the child is 6 or 12, you have these responsibilities that you need to do each day, and I don't have to tell you to do this. This is exactly what you have to do without me telling you. Are they going to do it without you telling them? Troy? Are they? No, they're not. You have to walk behind them. And instead of giving them a list of 4 or 5 things, you have to tell them, one, walk behind them and make sure they do it. They finish that, then you tell them the next thing, and then you walk behind them and make sure they do it. Because if not, they don't learn discipline. Discipline is something that a child learns because a parent is disciplined in their training and instruction in their rearing. And what drives me, this is a soapbox, I'm sure Miss Pat would be up here with me, is when parents threaten their kids and they say, I told you to go over there and pick up your toys. Or I told you to go mow the yard. And the kid just blows them off, yeah, whatever. And so they come back a few minutes later and they say, now I asked you or I told you to go mow the yard. They don't pay any attention whatsoever. And so finally the parent has it up to here, and now the parent starts screaming. And the kid won't do anything the parent says unless the parent is just foaming at the mouth mad. You know whose fault that is? Not the kid's. It's mine. It's yours. We have to be disciplined with our children if our children are going to be disciplined with their tasks and with their chores. Listen to what he says one more time. This is verse 18 of chapter 13. He who ignores discipline comes to poverty and shame. Is that true? There's just one hop, skip, and a jump away from becoming the type of person that nobody likes. If you never learn discipline, then all you do is you talk smack. You talk, but you never act. And in your eyes, talking is as good as doing. But it's not. Chapter 14, verse 23. All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. And if you don't teach, or if you weren't taught, and if you don't learn, and then if you don't discipline yourself to discipline your kids, then you make unwise financial decisions. Your children will make unwise financial decisions. And listen to what the Proverbs say. Chapter 21 and verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead to poverty, as surely as haste leads to poverty. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. Chapter 11, verse 15. He who puts up security for another will surely suffer. Boy, this is a whopper. This is a doozy. On a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 12. He who puts up security for another will suffer, but whoever refuses to strike hands in pledge is safe. I can't tell you how many people have lost their fortunes and lost their faith because they've made unwise decisions with their money, with people, and with brothers. What does Jesus say? If you give it, don't expect it back. If you're expecting it back for your life, don't give it. Or as we would say, don't loan it. There's no such thing for the Lord in this sense. That's a tough deal. Then the Proverbs, of course, being wisdom literature, like the book of Job, would explain that some people, not because of their own fault, but because of other people or for unseen circumstances or causes, they find themselves like this. Chapter 13, verse 23. A poor man's field may produce abundant food, but injustice sweeps it away. It's like trying to hold water in the palm of your hand. Like sticking a hot knife after you cut the cornbread into the butter. It just slips away. So what should we do? I'll give you two verses. Chapter 14 and verse 21. First, he who despises his neighbor sins, but blessed is he who is kind to the needy. Chapter 29 and verse 7. The righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern. That's a hard teaching. Today, as I was thumbing through the channels, I came across a program that's in Oklahoma City, and it is to feed the poor dying children in Nigeria. Their website is www.feed.tv/child. And the poverty in this world is not only unbelievable, but it's unbearable. And what you notice is that the nations of this world that have rejected God, if you look at the nations that don't practice Christianity, that are predominantly Muslim, you find great poverty. Someone would hasten to add the nations that are in the Gulf, the Persian Gulf. But guess what? If Americans had not done the exploration, they wouldn't have anything.
It's being kind. It's helping others. That's what makes the difference. Proverbs say that we must be diligent. What does diligent mean? Let me get up on my soapbox one more time with Miss Pat. It means to be disciplined. It means to have the discipline of the inner person. Chapter 4, verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. There is no substitute, church, for hard work. In every area of life, there is no substitute for hard work. In other words, everything in your life that's important to you, but everything that is important to God, demands discipline and effort. Because it has a big payoff. Maybe you like this. From God's perspective, we are to plan our work and to work our plan. Look in chapter 21, verse 25. Chapter 21 and verse 25. It says, "The sluggard's craving will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work." And then in chapter 16 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed." I like that. Don't you? Commit to the Lord whatever you do. You hear that? And your plans will succeed. Why? Because God blesses the labors of honest people. Chapter 13, verse 11. Dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. And God blesses the diligent for their generosity. Are you generous? If you're generous, God will bless you. Chapter 11, 24 and 25. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. This probably right here would be even better on Sunday morning. But this is a huge, huge deal for our culture. People who are disciplined are very careful not to incur debts that they cannot handle. In America, we live on credit cards. You don't worry about how much money you got, you just pull out a credit card. You turn around and you've got, conservatively speaking, $30,000 of debt at 18.65%. You can't even pay the interest on the debt, much less pay down the debt. And so what do Christians do? Christians will even resort to filing bankruptcy. I've often wondered how God feels about things like that. But I don't wonder very long, because I know how God sees the responsibility that we're supposed to have for the things that He gives us. So number one, we must be careful not to incur debt that we cannot handle. Second, we have to beware of wealth as a false sense of security. It's really dangerous to begin to trust in what we have and become comfortable. Because one minute it can be here, and believe me, the next moment it can be gone. Ask all the people that were living on the interest from their 401ks and their mutual funds right after 9/11. You know how many people had to go back to work because the stock places plunged. Another one is just as big, is to be careful that your wealth doesn't make you proud. People, I know I'm in this moment I'm not telling you anything that you don't need, but I want to reinforce what the Lord says. Doesn't matter what you have or what you own, we're all the same. $100 shirt or $200 pair of shoes doesn't make you any more important nor any better than anybody else. It's not what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside. What do the Proverbs say? I love this verse. There's another one that comes out of Ecclesiastes that we could look at some other time. But in chapter 18 and verse 11, the wealth of the rich is their fortified city. They imagine it an unscalable wall. That's what they thought in the book of Obadiah. They thought they could build or dig into these caves high on the cliffs and they would be safe. Nobody's safe from the Lord. And finally, be careful, because either your greed for money, your love for money, or your fancy lifestyle can wreck your friendships and even your own homes. What happens when our priorities aren't correct? Chapter 15, verse 27. A greedy man brings trouble to his family, but he who hates bribes will live. The rich man, the poor man, the beggar, and the thief. Which one do you most resemble? And which one would you most like to be? Tells us a little bit about who we are when we attempt to answer that question. I'd like to leave you with this from Proverbs chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. He tells us what is important and what's not. A good name is to be more desired than great riches. Favor is better than silver and gold. The rich and the poor have a common bond. The Lord is the maker of them all. And may God bless the teaching of His Word. If you're here and we could help you with your life, with your relationship with God, be open to His voice. Listen to His Word. Will you come to Jesus now? Please come if you need while we all stand and sing.